Well, we have sung some really powerful hymns and songs this morning, and I trust that some of the words there would really affect our hearts very deeply indeed. And good choices, Ellen and Paolo. Let's close this service this morning simply by asking one question. It's simply this. If you could wish one thing for yourself, what would it be? And let's personalize it this morning for Emilia. If you could wish one thing for Emilia, what would that wish be? For those of you who pray, what would that one prayer be? If you could just have one prayer for Emilia, what would it be? It's a great question, and I know I've had time to think about that because I've just prepared this talk, but you haven't. But I wonder what would first come to your mind. Health, wealth, happiness, well, they are good things. So many things we could wish for. Live long and prosper, gladiator-like, certainly. Or maybe we could wish that she'd be the first woman to manage England to World Cup victory. That would be good. Do you know, in Walt Disney's Sleeping Beauty, they've got these three fairy godmothers who all say that they want one wish or give one gift of life to Sleeping Beauty. So we've got Flora, who gives the gift of beauty, Fauna, who gives the gift of song. They're then rudely interrupted by Maleficent. And then Merryweather comes along and wishes that Sleeping Beauty would be awakened by love's true kiss. Well, all very nice. Beauty, song, and love. But let's just, for a few moments, have the ramblings of a grandfather. What would I pray for Emilia? What would it be of all those things that you could pray for her? What would it be? Well, I would pray that she would personalize that hymn that we have just sung. Lord, be my vision supreme in my heart. That's backed up really by one of the Psalms, and the Psalms that Paddy read to us just now as well. In verse 8 from that Psalm, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now, in the scriptures, when you read about Lord, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this would be my prayer for my granddaughter, that she would always keep her eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? Of all the things that I could pray for her and all the things I could wish for her, why pray that one prayer that she would have her eyes firmly fixed on Jesus throughout the whole of her life? Well, very simply, because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus can do. Jesus is far greater than you can ever imagine. If you typed into Google the question, who is Jesus, then you would get 311 million results as to who Jesus is. Some say he's a god, some guru, some a good man. Some say he's a spaceman, a clown, a political activist. Some say he's a freedom fighter, a miracle worker, a prophet, a rabbi, a glutton, a drunkard, a blasphemer, or John the Baptist come back from the dead. Now, there's a jungle of opinions as to who Jesus is. And today in our world where marketing rules okay, Jesus has been turned into a consumer item to make money, whether that's at Winchester Cathedral or on Etsy. Sheridan Vorsey, he's a writer and a blogger and a broadcaster and a speaker on contemporary faith and spirituality. In one of his latest blogs, he's got a real tongue-in-cheek view on how kitsch Jesus is popular today. And kitsch Jesus can sell greeting cards, pictures, posters, plaques, and trinkets. And here's what he writes. Kitsch Jesus is very popular. In paintings and posters, he's portrayed as having straight teeth, perfect skin, bright blue eyes, long flowing hair. He's often in soft focus, sitting in a peaceful, sunlit field, and is almost always gazing lovingly at the lamb he cradles in his arms. Kitsch Jesus wears long white robes, even when he's painted in a modern setting, and occasionally he holds a shepherd's staff. This is tongue-in-cheek, by the way. And then he's got some pictures. Kitsch Jesus is good with animals, in soft focus. Kitsch Jesus is good with children, in soft focus. Kitsch Jesus looks good in soft focus. Kitsch Jesus can turn anyone into a supermodel in soft focus. Kitsch Jesus drops into special occasions. And he meets 21st century prodigals dressed in his finest first century clothes. Kitsch Jesus likes animals, especially lambs. He loves lambs. Kitsch Jesus is a surfing dude on Etsy. What do you really want? Who really is Jesus? The Jesus in soft focus might be the very popular kind of person around today, the kind of replacement for the teddy bear that we had when we were a child. That's how some people think of Jesus, as a kind of a lucky mascot to have in my life, to dangle from the rear view mirror of my car, or to have upon the dashboard of my car, or just someone to comfort me like the teddy bear used to do when I was little. Is that really who Jesus is? Kitsch Jesus, soft focus Jesus, teddy bear Jesus, lucky mascot Jesus. Let me tell you what the scriptures say about this Jesus Christ. They say that he's both prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. I know these might be kind of religious words and church jargon, but I think really we do understand what we mean by each one of those three terms. Jesus is a mighty prophet. Now, a prophet is someone who tells you things you don't know. And especially in Bible terms, a prophet is someone who stands in the presence of God, receives a message from God, and then passes it on to other people so that they might know that message. That's what a prophet is. Now, when it comes to God, nobody can know him without a prophet telling them about him. See, we couldn't kind of just individually go off to some kind of monk cell somewhere and spend 24 hours thinking, what is God like? Because if we came up with our own views as to what God is like, we would limit God to our own views. And God is far bigger than our own views. It's the same if you should hold a conference or a forum or a few workshops and gather people together, religious people together, and say to them, right, you know nothing about God, so just spend 24 hours together, even 48 hours, and then put down your thoughts as to who you think God is. Well, once again, God would be limited to their collective understanding because we limit God to what we know, because it's very hard to go outside of our own experience and the experience of history. So if we really want to know who God is, we need someone who is a prophet, who has seen God, and who can come to us and tell us exactly what God is like. And that's what Jesus Christ has done. He once said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And he is the exact representation of God's being and the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is a mighty prophet. And my prayer for Emilia is that the Lord Jesus would be her vision because he would point her to who God is. And once that's the case, then she will understand not just who God is, well, a little bit of who God is, but also she will understand her significance and security on planet Earth. You know, people have loads of different problems, and we've all got them. But most of our problems actually boil down to two things, significance and security. Significance and security. We want to know who we are, and we want to know if we're going to be okay. Significance and security. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ can assure us of both those things. He can tell us who we are as God's created people, and he can tell us that God can protect us forever. And my prayer for Emilia is that the Lord would be her vision so that she would have a mighty prophet who would tell her who God is and help her to know how to use her one and only life really well. But Jesus is more than a prophet. Don't limit him to a prophet. He's also a priest. Now, a priest is someone who stands between God and people and brings the two together. In many ways, a prophet represents God to people and a priest represents people to God. And Jesus is a priest. God is so holy, pure, and righteous, and we are so unholy, sinful, and unrighteous that we are millions of miles away from him. And there is no relationship there because we're just so different. And if God tries to come to us, it's like the north side of a magnet and another north side of the magnet chasing each other around the room. The closer God gets to us, the further we move away from him. But in Jesus, he comes to us and he takes hold of the hand of God and the hand of humanity and he brings us together. How does he do that? Well, a priest makes a sacrifice and Jesus made a sacrifice. The biggest sacrifice anyone would ever know. And it might blow your minds, but actually the sacrifice he made was the sacrifice of himself. It's well known that Jesus died on a cross. But it's not well known. The reason why he died upon that cross is not well known. So why did Jesus die upon a cross? He died upon a cross that he might take away our sin and placate God's displeasure towards that sin. So my sin is gone, God's displeasure is gone, and I can know God. But I can only know him in Jesus. Because he's the priest who brings me to God. And that means that my sins can be forgiven, and I can have peace with God and a peace in my conscience. And that's the most tremendous thing, to know that you're forgiven. One of the greatest words in the English language is forgiven. You are forgiven. One doctor working in a psychiatric hospital once said to a Christian counselor, "So many of my patients would go home in a week if they knew they were forgiven." Probably an exaggeration, but there's power in forgiveness. And the way that we can get forgiveness from God is through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And my prayer for Emilia is not just that she would know who God is, with Jesus being her prophet, but also that she would know God in relationship with God as her heavenly Father, as her sins are forgiven. Finally, prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is a king, a real powerful king. And a king is someone who is powerful, who can rule, and who can defend us. Now, we've probably lost the notion of how glorious and wonderful a king is. We tend to think of kings as if they were all FIFA officials. Rather corrupt and dictators, or else they use up large amounts of taxes, and their subjects are just living in poverty. But in antiquity, a good king was someone who cared for his subjects, who wanted the best for his subjects, and who protected them, and who had the ability to do all those things. Now, the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, tells us that embroidered on the clothes of Jesus and tattooed on the thigh of Jesus, these words, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's not just a king amongst any kings. He's the king of all kings. So as a king, he can sort out our lives. See, people's lives, I know because of the job that I do, people's lives can end up a terrible mess. And sometimes a downward spiral of messiness as well. And people can look all good on the outside and appear to be getting by and having it all together on the outside. But inside, they can be crumbling and falling to pieces. And that can be so for people who seem to have made it in the business world or the medical world or the world of education or the world of sport or the world of entertainment. People can seem to be really something. But in their quiet moments inside, they're wondering, what's it all about? And they're actually collapsing inside. Well, here's Jesus, this powerful king who can help us sort out our lives. And through his kind and loving laws, can actually show us the best way that we can live to make something of our lives. What's more, as a powerful king, Jesus has defeated the powers of darkness. Now, this might get all of it Star Wars-y like, okay, but it's not Star Wars, it's reality. There is a spirit world. And in our age of technology and the digital media and so on, when everyone's talking about technology and digital stuff and robots, they're talking loads of stuff about that. They're still talking about spirituality, mindfulness, angels, and meditation. Why do people still talk about that when we live in such a highly technological age? It's because we've got a soul. We've got a spirit. And that needs to be satisfied. And it also needs to be protected. Because in that vast spirit world out there somewhere, there are forces of darkness and there are forces of good on the side of God. And your soul is a battlefield. Who's going to protect your soul? Because at the present it is defenseless. It's Jesus, who is the powerful king who has defeated the devil, death, and darkness forever so that we can have life, eternal life, forever. And I want Emilia to be protected in her soul, to know Jesus as king, so that forever she will live. Who then is Jesus, and why is this my prayer for her? He is a prophet, he is a priest, he is a king. He is far greater than anyone can ever imagine. So get rid of any idea of a soft-focused Jesus, a lucky mascot Jesus, a teddy bear Jesus, and realize that Jesus is a mighty prophet to reveal God to you, a loving priest to bring you to God, and a powerful king to protect you in God's presence forever. One man once wrote this: I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of people upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life of Jesus. That's my prayer for each one of us this morning, as well as my granddaughter, that the Lord would be her vision for those very reasons, because he is great.